I've heard it said that Americans are all but schizophrenic when it comes to the subject of death. I can't believe that we haven't become jaded by the thousands of people we have seen beaten, tortured, gunned down, or assassinated on television or in the movies. I fear even more the influence that the outrageously violent electronic games available to our children may be having on their sensibilities. We sip our morning coffee, watch the world news describing the latest suicide bombing and its dastardly effects. And then, largely unruffled, we devour news of the latest sports event or Hollywood antic. But when it comes to the death of someone close to us, although shaken to the core, our first strategy for coping is often denial. It's rare to hear that someone died. People just pass away. If you should die on the operating table, it will likely be said that you didn't make it. I've even read that in place of the traditional, "the patient expired," some hospital personnel now prefer to refer to death as negative patient outcome. I've instructed my family and friends, and now you, my church family, that when my negative outcome arrives, you are to boldly say, "I died." In the normal course of grieving, no matter how devastated we might feel at the death of someone we care a great deal about, there comes a time when we must move on to acceptance. And as experience has shown us, the amount of time it takes to resume life with a semblance of normalcy varies from person to person. But acceptance must come in time. The same holds true for accepting the death of Jesus. It's not easy to accept his horrible death, especially in light of his being innocent of any wrongdoing. It's not easy to accept the horrific manner in which Jesus died. But if we do not understand that he did indeed humble himself and become obedient unto death, even death on a cross, we cannot begin to understand what he meant when he commanded us to pick up our cross and follow him. The fact that we honor a God who has died, who has died for us, means that suffering is not an extraneous experience for Christians, but it's part and parcel of our existence. The essence of Jesus' command is that being his disciple calls us to a kind of death while living. Death to self. It's a call to die to selfish ambition, pride, self-centeredness, while enacting the mandate to live for the sake of others, even when that causes us suffering. Good Friday is needed to remind us of that tenet of our faith. We need reminding, I'm afraid, that living the good life of health, wealth, and happiness is not necessarily our due. Someone once said that the test of a Christian is if he or she thinks to ask, "Why me, God?" in prosperous times, in the way that so many turn to God in adversary and ask, why me? I wonder how many lottery winners have asked, why me, God? We must learn to pick up our cross in whatever form we encounter it if we would be worthy to be called Jesus's disciples. Can we look inward and see if any tinge of mob think rests there, as we saw it in the crowd who screamed for Jesus to die? Did they know him? Did they understand him? Or did they simply hate and fear him because his demeanor lay beyond the accepted norm? When one stands up against such thinking, when one refuses to tolerate the kind of thinking that promotes the making of outcasts, then a cross has been taken up in Jesus' name. In a society that so often redefines the golden rule as do unto others before they do unto you, there are many crosses to be taken up on behalf of mercy, compassion, truth, and justice. The good news of Good Friday is that the man on the cross, Jesus, shared our humanity and understands all that we are, the good and the bad. Though Good Friday will undoubtedly always bring to mind violence and suffering, it attests also to the triumph of God's love. Jesus' life and his death reveal the nature of God, and nowhere more than in the act of his self-giving love on the cross. Giving of self, that's what God does. That's what love does. And that is what Jesus asks of us.